keep Brother Jason Adams's niece, Mallory, in your prayers. Brother Ned Honeycutt and little Terrence Smith that we've been praying for that had COVID. She's doing better, and we're thankful for that. But all of these, you know, our list gets seemingly longer and longer, but the Lord knows all things. And we're looking to a Lord who is able not only to hear our prayers, but has the power to know the things that we stand in need of even before we ask, and supplies them according to his will and his grace. And just thank the Lord that he indeed is gracious. If you have your Bibles tonight and would like to turn with me, I'd like to read to you from the 12th chapter of the Gospel of Mark, Mark chapter 12. I'm hesitant to say I feel like I'll probably be kind of short tonight, because usually when I say that, I tend not to be at all, but just pray for me that whatever time that I use, it'll be of the Lord, and that the Lord would just give me the liberty to be able to speak and the utterance to say those things that would be beneficial to you tonight and would be pleasing unto him first and foremost. And when it pleases our Lord, then God's little children are fed. And that's my desire, is to feed the little lambs and the sheep that are gathered here tonight. Mark chapter 12 gives us an account in the life of the Lord Jesus Christ of one that came and may have come with motives that we really don't know exactly what they were, other than the scripture does tell us in one place he came tempting him. He's called a scribe here in Mark 12, 28, but he's also called a lawyer in Matthew. And he came asking questions of the Lord. But he came asking those questions, whether his intent was to tempt the Lord. I know what the scripture says he was to tempting the Lord, but whether that was to cause him to trip up or whatever. Our Lord never made a mistake, never answered a question incorrectly, never spoke when he was supposed to be silent, and never was silent when he was supposed to speak. I have a lot of trouble with that, you know. At times my mouth runs when I should not say anything. Sometimes I just have to answer a question that really would have been better off if it was left unanswered. And then there are other times where I should speak up that I've been silent, and I'm sure we all can relate to times in our lives where we're really not sure what to do. Our Lord was not like that. He always knew just what to say and when to say it, and always answered with such wonderful wisdom. And sometimes men understood that, and they marveled at his words. No man ever spake like this man. They marveled at his speech. And then there were other times where men did not appreciate what he said, and even called him a blasphemer and accused him of all kinds of things, which he was guilty of not one thing. I love the account where Pilate says, "I find no fault in him." And the reason he found no fault is because there was no fault. And all those that came to him and thought they got him to answer in some way that was incorrect were just simply wrong. And the scoffers of this world today who make light of him and light of his word, they're just wrong. And that we need to remind ourselves of that so that we remain steadfast and don't get carried away with something, a doubt or a concern. Tonight, you and I can be confident in the Word of God. We can be confident in the truth. We can be confident that when we go to God's Word and we follow what the Scripture says, it's going to be okay with us. And that okay may not be what we think it is. It may seem to be not okay, but when the Lord's in the matter, he opens doors where no man can open, and he shuts doors that no man can open, and he opens doors that no man can shut. And we have a God who has all power. I heard a speaker one time talking about the God that he served, and he said he always listened when a preacher was preaching. He wanted to hear whether he believed in a big God or a little God. And he said that when they started preaching and they preached a little God, he knew they weren't preaching the truth. But when they preached, and they preached a big God, and that's who our God is. He's an awesome God. He's the mighty God. He's the everlasting Father. He has all power. He's omniscient. He knows all things. He's omnipotent. He has all power. He's omnipresent. He's everywhere present and nowhere absent. And we can talk about him tonight and tomorrow night and on and on and on, and we'll never begin to touch the fullness of who God is and the greatness and the majesty of this God that we serve. This particular text, this brother came, whether his intent was to try to trip up the Lord, he sure left in a way that was different from that. And don't want to add more to it than what the Bible gives us, but I do love the conversation. And it's left on account for us, beginning in verse 28 of Mark chapter 12. He says, "And one of the scribes came, and having heard them reasoning together and perceiving that he had answered them well, asked him, which is the first commandment of all? And Jesus answered him, the first of all the commandments is, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. And the second is like, namely this, Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these. And the scribe said unto him, Well, master, thou hast said the truth. For there is one God, and there is none other but he. And to love him with all the heart, and with all the understanding, with all the soul, and with all the strength, and to love his neighbor as himself is more than all whole burnt offerings and sacrifices. And when Jesus saw that he answered him discreetly, he said unto him, Thou art not far from the kingdom of God. And no man after that durst ask him any questions." This man, being a lawyer, was sent by the Pharisees, who had overheard a conversation between Jesus and the Sadducees. I heard a brother the other night talking about this, and he mentioned what I've heard many times before, that one way to remember the doctrine of the Sadducees is because they didn't believe in the resurrection, and they're sad, you see, because they did not believe in the resurrection. What would it be tonight for us if we didn't believe in the resurrection? To not believe in the resurrection of our bodies is to really to deny the resurrection of the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because just as sure as Jesus rose again, just that sure, even so them which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. There will be a resurrection of both the just and the unjust. That is an absolute surety. Just as sure as Jesus on that third revolving morning after being in the heart of the earth 3 days and three nights rose again. And there's an empty tomb to prove it. They tried to make it as sure as they could that he would not come out of that grave, but no power could have kept him from coming forth from the grave. And he rose again, and just as sure as he's a resurrected Savior, there'll be a resurrection of our bodies. As we said many times before, at the moment of death, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. The soul and the spirit go immediately into the presence of the Lord. The body goes back to the dust from which it was taken. And it will be here until the Lord returns. And when the Lord returns, he'll raise that body. And that resurrection means so very much to us. And that resurrection wasn't sure, then the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ is not sure. And if the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ is not sure, then our faith is in vain. If Jesus rose not, then we're yet in our sins. We would stand guilty before Almighty God, and there would absolutely be no hope for any of us tonight. Aren't you thankful that Jesus rose again? I am. I'm thankful that he loved us enough that he came. I'm thankful that he loved us enough that he lived a perfect life, that he endured men with puny minds coming up asking him all kinds of questions, trying to tempt him and trying to trick him up, but to no avail, because he was full of wisdom, he was full of knowledge, he was verily the Son of God and a perfect man. And he offered himself once to God for our sins, and that is the gospel. That when he died, our sin debt was paid, And the resurrection proved that what he did was accepted in the sight of God. He offered himself once unto God, and he has the receipt, a resurrected body. And he was ushered into heaven. What a glorious time that would have been to be there to see Jesus entering into heaven, sitting down on the right hand of the Father in heaven. And we know he's there tonight. That's how Brother Bobby's prayers, I believe, were heard in heaven tonight, as well as my prayers and your prayers. We're heard in heaven tonight. We can come boldly to a throne of grace. I can come tonight and say, Lord, just settle me down with all the stuff that's going on around me and how little these things can be. You know, how insignificant is a van? How little? Well, it's your van. It seems to be different than somebody else's van, you know. When it's your wreck, it seems to be different than somebody else's wreck. When it's moles in your yard, it seems to be a little different than moles in everybody's yard. Why would we get upset? Well, it's just how weak and feeble we are. And yet God is so gracious, he still hears us. He still hears me. And I believe he hears you. And he's a resurrected Savior. And he's seated on the right hand of the Father. And he carries my prayers to heaven to be heard by the Father. The Holy Spirit gives me the utterance so that I'm praying aright. And that's the only way we pray right. It isn't because we get it right. It's because he works in us and in his wisdom and in his power. And then the Father hears us and then he answers us in such wonderful ways. I ask you tonight, has he answered any of your prayers? One eye is working good, isn't it, Brother Terry? He's answered that prayer. You know how many eyes we deserve to have? You know how much we've earned and merited? Even the best of us. You know what we deserve? The wages of sin, which is death. And that's eternal separation from God in a place of torment. And that would be just and right. And yet God has not shown us that. But he's shown us mercy and grace. And it would be sad, wouldn't it? A sad you see for real if we didn't believe in the resurrection. They didn't believe in the resurrection. They didn't believe in angels. And the Lord in one lesson showed them and answered questions. You know, they threw a trick question at him. You know, whose wife was she, will there be? If a man dies and he has no and leaves his wife and his brother marries her and then he dies and leaves her and then the next brother, and that's the law that the brethren would take that woman and they would marry the same woman, and you had seven of them, I believe it says. It's a passage right in front of this. And there they were. Whose wife would she be in heaven? They thought they had him, you know. How are you going to answer that, Jesus? And he says, you err, not knowing two things. You don't know the power of God, and you don't know the scriptures. Because in heaven, there's neither marriage or given in marriage. But we're like the angels. We're like the angels. And what does that mean? That means we're going to be spiritually minded. That means we're going to have the love that we have spiritually, that we have for one another, but all the natural, fleshly, carnal, all of those things are going to be removed, and the love that we have for one another as husbands and wives is also a love we have as brothers and sisters, and that love is going to remain. It's not going to be less love. I want you to understand that tonight. It's not going to be less love. It's going to be more love than you and I could ever imagine, where everybody loves one another all the time. And I've seen a lot of loving couples in this world. But the ones that I've known well enough, and the others I just probably didn't know well enough, I've never seen two of them that didn't have a miff every once in a while. Now, I know it's a few exceptions here tonight. No, there's not. We all have those times where we love them, but boy, you know, whew, if we could just get away for a little while. You know, it can be, but oh, what a blessing. What a blessing to have a wife I can call my sister. What a blessing to have a wife that I can pray with. What a blessing is it to have someone of like precious faith. What a blessing that is. What a blessing it is to have the love that we have for one another. And the beauty of it, when we get to heaven, it's whatever's wrong is going to be right. Whatever's bothering us won't bother us anymore. Whatever trouble or problem or pain, you won't have to worry about any of those little insignificant things that shouldn't be bothering me right now, really. If I remember it, I'm in the hands of an almighty God who loved me so much that he sent his only begotten son here into this world to die for me. And when we look to him, we're looking to a God who will supply to us just what we need when we need it. The brethren asked to talk today about prayer. A lot of them did. And with the collection of all of them, you know, they laid it out just right. I mean, we ask the Lord and we don't have to be concerned. Is it too big for him? We don't have to be concerned. Can he handle it? Can he do it? We don't have to say, if thou canst do this or that. We simply believe him and trust in him. And we're to ask by faith. If we ask doubting, then he's told us it's very highly that he may not hear. He may not answer. We ask amiss, and we ask doubting. But if we lack wisdom and don't know what to pray for, you ever been there? Well, I don't know what to pray for. I don't know what's best. That's a smart person. It says, I don't know what's best. Because that person will say, I need wisdom. So what do? I ask of the Lord, who giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not. And he supplies just what we need when we need it. When I think of heaven and what it's going to be, oh, how wonderful it's going to be. And then when I think of here, how good the Lord has been to us every step of the way down here. And he knew the exact intent on this man's heart. You know, I'm sitting here speculating it, even out of reading scripture. One place it says he came tempting him. And I feel like that's why he came. The Pharisees had heard the conversation and he put the Sadducees to silence. It didn't bother the Pharisees too much because they didn't get along anyway. They didn't like their doctrine was different. They were just about as wrong, probably more so, as much so. Both of them were wrong. They were just wrong different ways. And they didn't get along with each other either. And the Sadducees were put to silence because when Jesus answered him and laid it all out, they heard that answer and said, oh, he answered well. What a marvelous answer. As a matter of fact, the word here in the actual Greek, it means beautiful. How beautiful was his answer? Have you ever heard an answer like that? That just was beautiful. I love when someone asks a question and someone's blessed to answer. Where it just seems like it's almost like, well, I wish I could write that answer down. Well, here we've got it written down. And we don't have to speculate about it, you know. We could write it down and maybe miss something. But God moved men to write this down so we have exactly what Jesus answered. And he says, and one of the scribes came and having heard them reasoning together and perceiving that he answered them well. That word there means it was beautiful. It was just with full of wisdom. He answered, and that was Jesus all the time. Every answer that he gave, every gospel sermon that he preached, every time that he spoke, it was just right, just the way it ought to be. He was perfect, without any spot and without any blemish. You say, how do you know that? There's an empty tomb to prove it. He's a resurrected Savior. If he had not been a perfect sacrifice, the sin debt would not have been paid, would not have been accepted. The sacrifice had to be as the lamb was without spot and without blemish under the Old Testament law. It had to be that way. Jesus Christ was the perfect Lamb of God. All of those blood sacrifices were done in remembrance of sin, but Jesus, his blood was shed to remove our sin debt, and it was a perfect. It was his blood was without any sin. His body that was broken, when we use that unleavened bread and we talk about that, not one bit of leaven should be in it because leaven represented sin and Jesus' body was perfect. And the Lord saw his sacrifice that was made for his people and the sin debt is paid. And we're to rest in that. We're to drink that cup. We're to take that cup of salvation and believe that tonight. He says, which is the first commandment of all. He said, and he perceiving that he had answered them well, asked him, which is the first commandment of all? And Jesus answered him, the first of all the commandments is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. Just thinking about that tonight. And I mentioned this some today, but I'm going to mention it again. Over in 1 John 5 and 7, he says this wonderful truth. He says, for there are three that bear record in heaven. There are three that bear record in heaven. the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. We believe in the three in one God. We believe in God manifest in three persons. We believe them co-equal. We believe them equal in power, in wisdom, in every way. We believe them all to be the truth. We believe when we talk about them, we're really talking about Him. We're talking about one God. We're talking about the God of heaven. We're talking about God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And He says, if you want to know the first commandment, part of it is believing and understanding there's just one God. There's not many gods. There are many that are little G-O-Ds, but there's only one God, one true and living God. And He says, the first of all the commandments is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. We believe that tonight. You know how you believe it? You believe it because you have faith. And you know how you have faith? It's the gift of God. He came to you when He gave you life. And tonight, even though I don't understand the mystery of the Trinity, I don't understand all of the aspects of it, I don't understand the depth of it by any degree or stretch of the imagination, I absolutely tonight believe there's a God in heaven who's God the Father, that He has His Son who is one with Him, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Word, and then there's the Holy Spirit that is with us here tonight and in our hearts, shedding the love of God abroad in our hearts. And I believe these three that have distinct operations and are distinct persons are yet one. Somebody said, explain that. I just did. These three are one. And all I have to say is 1 John 5:7 says so. And that settles it. Isn't it easy? A little child can answer that question. Men would say, I just don't know how that can be. How can three? I heard a man the other day. Well, I didn't hear him. I was reading after him online. I didn't read very long because he said something really way off. But anyway, he was talking about, he said the Trinity to him was a confusing doctrine, even though his denomination believed it and they supposedly accepted it. He found it hindered Christianity rather than helping it. I thought to myself, oh, and you're a preacher? And you went to school to learn that? 1 John 5:7 says these three are one. And I don't understand all the aspects of that. And you know, he went into all the ways that it might be illustrated so that people could understand the Trinity. And most of them were ways that men would come up with to try to figure that out. It is so simple tonight for us to believe there's God the Father, who is the eternal Father. There is God the Son, who is the Word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And there is the eternal Son. He's the eternal Father. That means He's always been the Father. He's the eternal Son. He's always been the Son. There never was a time there wasn't the eternal Father and the eternal Son and the eternal Holy Spirit. They have always been there. These three have always been one. And our God does not change. He has always been that way, and He will always be that way. And you say, how do you understand that? I don't. It's infinite. I'm finite. All I know is I was a time I was born, and then there's a time I die, and morning and evening and time and all of that. That's where I deal. I'm dealing in the finite. I'm dealing in time. But I know by faith what 1 John 5:7 says. It says these three are one. And that just settles it. Just like in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. If you have trouble with that verse, you'll have trouble with every verse in the Bible. And if you don't believe those, the same way you can believe that verse is the way you believe every other verse in the Bible. And that is by faith. And I cannot give you faith. I can't preach faith to you. But if you have faith, I encourage you, I beseech you, believe. You exercise that belief. And don't worry about what the old natural intellect says. That man has been corrupt from the beginning, since the fall. We have a carnal mind that alienated us from God, even to the point we couldn't keep the first commandment. Somebody said, if that's all I got to do, some people said, just tell me what I got to do. You know, the young rich ruler came and says, What is it that I need to do that I may obtain eternal life? He did have sense enough to know he hadn't gotten it. He did have sense enough that he didn't get it on his own. He wanted to know what to do. He was trying to do it. He wanted to do it. But when he told him, you just keep the law, and he mentioned those individual parts of the law, and he had the ignorance to say, and these have I kept from my youth up. He didn't even know his own condition. But he did know one thing that he had a problem with, and that was money. He was covetous. You know who knew him better than he knew himself? The Lord Jesus Christ. You know, he'll do the same thing with us too. If we get our heads too big, he'll burst our bubble real quick. He knows exactly what to point out. He knows what to send the preacher to preach to you. He knows what to give you, so that tonight we come as little children, recognizing if I'm able to love him, it's because he's going to give me love to love him with. I have to look to him for that. If I'm able to believe that he's God and he's one Lord and he's manifest in three persons, if I'm able to believe that tonight, it's because he gives me faith. And I'm not looking to someone else to give me faith. I'm looking to the Lord. Lord, increase our faith. Lord, be with me tonight. Help me to be trusting in thee and not falling apart like I do so often. Any of y'all find yourself falling apart? We got the greatest friend. You know, if you figure, you know, sometimes we think, I'll say silly things like, if I could just win that publisher's clearing house, I'd have enough money, I could help a lot of people. I could do this, I could do that. You know, it probably wouldn't be even a good thing. I'm still playing it. I don't spend anything. I spend my time, I guess, hitting that thing saying, yeah, check me in on that. Just whatever. Well, we've got the one who owns the cattle on a thousand hills, who loves us, who looks down from heaven upon us and sees us in our weakness, sees us in our doubt. Jesus wept when those were mourning over Lazarus. He wept. I don't believe he wept so much. He knew exactly what was going to happen with Lazarus. He knew I'm going to raise him from the grave. But he saw the doubt. He saw those that were in such unbelief. And Jesus just wept. He wept. Isn't it wonderful to know Jesus cares tonight? He cares for you. He knows what you're going through, and he cares. He knows when you're full of doubt, and he cares. He knows when you're overwhelmed and you're about to give up, and he cares. And he's proven that he cares over and over. Has he been there when you were just headed the wrong way, going the wrong way? Where would we be tonight had he not intervened? If he'd not stepped in our lives, where would we be? What a mess our lives would have been. The Lord has brought me to the banqueting house in the Lord's church and his kingdom. Have you all found the church to be a banqueting house? You feel like you're come and dine. It's a place we come and sit down and feed on in the teachings of God's word. It's where my soul gets restored and I get energy and I get strength. And just to be among the brethren and to sing together and to hug one another and to have fellowship and talk about the Lord and magnify the Lord together. It gives you comfort. A lot of people in the world said, it's a silly place. I don't know why you want to be there. Well, they don't see it. And those who are given by the grace of God, I love thy kingdom, Lord. The house of thine abode, the church our blessed Redeemer saved and with his own blood. Oh, what a blessing tonight to be at the banqueting house. And his banner over us is love, the love of God. He said, which of these is the first commandment of all? And he says, Jesus answered him, the first of all commandments is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. We would never confess that if the Lord hadn't worked that in our hearts. And he says, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. That's all mankind. All mankind ought to do that. All mankind. How many of mankind would do that on their own? Not one. Only one that came in a body of flesh that did that perfectly. was the Lord Jesus Christ. He loved his Father with all his heart, with all his mind, and with all his soul. As man, he did that, and he fulfilled that commandment for us. Aren't you glad tonight Jesus checked that for us? You know what other commandment he checked? Every one of them. You know how many ways he was tempted? In all points, like unto us. You know how many times he failed on any of those? Not one. And you know what righteousness will get you into heaven? That's the only righteousness that will get you there. And Jesus filled in all of those for us. He took that test for us and he passed it in every sense. And we failed it. We got every question wrong and he got every question right. And he took our wrong in his own body and paid the sin debt for it and gave us his right. He made us. God was righteous when he forgave us. God was just when he forgave us. How could that possibly be? There had to be a perfect sacrifice, and that was the Lord Jesus Christ. That was the one who was speaking to this man here, and he had known all about this commandment, and he said, this is the commandment. And listen, until God first works in your heart, you don't even have a desire to keep that commandment. But oh, it's a great commandment for us to keep when the Lord has wakened our heart and given us love to love him with. And the more you love him, the happier you're going to be, the closer you'll feel and understand that he loves you. And he comes and makes his abode with us. If a man love me, he'll keep my commandments, and my Father will love him, and we will come and make our abode with him. Boy, that word abode means a mansion. That means he comes and makes you feel the peace and the rest that comes with the presence of God the Father and God the Son and God the Holy Spirit. Right now, at this very moment, I can honestly say in my heart that band didn't bother me one bit. It sure bothered me this afternoon. But at this moment, I'm not going to say that I won't get problems going out the door. I don't want them, though. I want to just trust in the Lord. Isn't that good when we can just trust in the Lord? That surgery, just trust in the Lord. What's going on with Mama? Just trust in the Lord. Just turn it over to the Lord. He loves you and love him. Just leave it in his hands. Take the cup of salvation and just trust him because he's done such great things. Whatever problems, I don't know all your problems tonight. We all got a list of them. You don't want to see mine. I could write them up on the board. You wouldn't want to see them. Sharon's heard enough of them. She didn't want to hear them either. What I'm saying is we all have them. But we can take them to the Lord. What a friend we have in Jesus. What a friend to hear our prayers and hear my voice and hear and my supplication. And not only hear them, but has answered them over and over and over again. And even when I messed up so many times, Jesus didn't mess up any time. And that isn't an out for us in the sense, well, let us continue in sin that grace may abound. No, it ought to be a motivation for us. Let us not lay one more stripe on the back of our Savior. May I walk more like thee. May I walk in a way pleasing and honoring and glorifying to thee. But I'm sure thankful that salvation is in his hands. How about you? Are you? Hope you are tonight. Because if it was in our hands, we wouldn't have it. There would be no salvation. He didn't say salvation belongeth to the Lord and a few other people. He said salvation belongeth unto the Lord. Jesus answered him, the first of all the commandments is, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. He's one Lord. Our God, the Lord our God is one Lord. Manifest in three persons. And thou shalt love thy Lord thy God with all thy heart. That is the heart he's made new. It's not a heart that's deceitful and desperately wicked. Who can know it? It's a heart that's been regenerated and made alive. And with all thy soul, it's a regenerated soul. And with all thy mind, that is the mind that the Lord gives us. He says, and with all thy strength, that is with our understanding, our mind, and with all our ability. And this is the first commandment. And you and I don't keep that commandment tonight to try to be righteous before God. We keep that commandment because Jesus has already kept it and we've been made righteous in the Lord Jesus Christ. And therefore, because of what he has done for us, we ought to love him more. What was it the psalmist said in 116? I love the Lord because and how many things could come after that. And this the second is like, namely this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And there is a sense in which we are to have a natural love for all mankind. There's a special love I believe we have tonight in the truth. I believe there's a special love between God's children. When you meet a little child of God in this world, and they show evidence of being a little child of God, whether they've ever been in the doors of an old Baptist church or not, or whether they believe just like we do or not, when you see the evidence of the fruit of the Spirit in a person and you identify them as a little child of God, there is a love that you share that's given to you and given to them, that you can have one to another, that's from the Lord, that's different than the love that we're to love all mankind with. But there's a love that we're to have for all mankind. We can't tell who is and who isn't a little child of grace. We don't know who they are, other than when we can see evidences in them and we know them to be. And sure, there's a special love when that happens. But there's something we ought to want good, even to the point of those that would despitefully use us, those that would persecute us, those that would do harm to us. And that's not so natural, is it, for us just to love everybody? Most of the time we want to love those that are good to us, and the rest of them, well, they can go wherever. We're not worried about loving them. But the Lord said we're to be like He is. And we're to love, pray for them that despitefully use you, to love your enemies. You know, love them. And what does that mean? That means we shouldn't want no harm to come unto them. That means we shouldn't want to see bad things happen to them. That means we want to see done unto them what we would want to have done unto you. Like the golden rule, except the golden rule is a biblical rule. It's given by the Lord Jesus Christ in His Word, that we shouldn't want to see any harm come to anyone. And sometimes, if we are honest about it, our old flesh goes the other way. You have trouble with that? In other words, you hear somebody get something, you say, well, they got what they deserved. Whew, watch it. What if the Lord would turn and give us tonight what we deserve? Has the Lord been merciful to us? Then should we not be praying, Lord, please be merciful? And that's a whole different way of looking at the world, isn't it? You know, God's little children are supposed to look at the world from a biblical viewpoint, not a natural viewpoint. And I'm not telling you something I've got a handle on tonight. I battle this probably more than any of you tonight, preaching to me more than anybody else. But I'm saying to you tonight, I want to remember this, because I'll have a lot more peace in this old world if I'm not fighting with everybody. That I remember that those that, you know, some people say some of the most ignorant things. Sometimes I'm one of them. And we want to remember, Lord, help me to be mindful of that second law that is right in there with the first law. And it's not about loving them because they deserve it. It's about loving them because God said so, and He's the one that's due this our obedience in this. We're to do this because He's done so much for us. We're to do this because of Him. We're not doing it because of them. We're doing it because of Him. But we should, as much as we can, have the right kind of love in a natural way for all mankind, and especially we're to have a love for those of the household of faith. Tonight, I will say that I have a special love for Old Baptists. And I don't mean just Old Baptists in a generic sense. I have a love for those who believe in the truth. I have a love for those who hold to the doctrines of faith. I have a love for them that believe in the sovereignty of God. And it's a special relationship. And I thank God for their faith and their love and their hope and what the Lord has done for them. And I give the Lord the praise for them. But I surely thank the Lord that He's allowed me to have fellowship with the Lord's church while I've been here in this world. Y'all have been a big help to me. And I give the Lord the praise and the honor and the glory for that. Your presence here tonight has been big help. Isn't it good to have brethren you can call up and say, pray for us. We got this going on. We got that going on. And we have the friends that most cheer us. We're to have a love in general for all mankind. And that God knows, listen, God knows His people. He knows who they are. You and I cannot know that. So God has told us we're to look at all mankind and want no harm against them. God will judge them with his righteous judgment. And we ought to remember that, listen, if it were not for the grace of God, oh, where would we be? So we might see someone who is yet in an unregenerate state, a little child of grace, and he could be a persecuting Saul, and we think, I just wish God would wipe that man from the face of the earth. If the early Christians that were being persecuted, would have probably, at times, you could have talked to them and asked them what they thought about Saul of Tarsus. They would have said, we wish he was gone and not around anymore. And the Lord had something for the Saul of Tarsus that they didn't know about, but God took care of it in his time. Isn't it good to know God will just take care of it? So much for the time. Okay. The second is like, namely this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these. So all that we read of in the Old Testament, all of the law, all of the sacrifices, the ceremonial law, the moral law, all of that, here it is wrapped up. He tells us, the Apostle Paul tells us over in Romans, we could read about that, but over in Romans it tells us about all of the law and the commandments are wrapped up in these. These all right here. It's really pretty simple, isn't it? It's about loving the Lord with all your heart and with all your mind and with all your soul. How are you able to do that? By the grace of God, he gives you that. We'll never get it done perfectly, but that's what we ought to be about. We don't have to do it to be righteous because Jesus has already done it and has given us his righteousness. We don't need any other righteousness. It's his righteousness. But because he's done that and the Holy Spirit has worked in our hearts, isn't it our duty to try to live as much like him as we can? And how did he live? He pictured this perfectly in his life. The scribe said unto him, well, master. Best thing the scribe has said all night. Well, master. First of all, he is the master, and he's always well. Isn't it good to know he's always well? If anybody said to Jesus, you've made a mistake, master. Peter did that. Not so, Lord. That was kind of a silly thing to say. Sometimes we almost say the same thing in our prayers. No, God's always right on time and always just right. Well, master, he says, thou hast said the truth. You know, every word he ever spoke was the truth. But he was blessed to hear it. How did he hear it? How did he know about it? How could he even say that? The Lord opened his eyes and his ears and his heart. He says, for there is one God. Amen. And there is none other but he, no other God. When he said he's one God, there's not one God among many gods. It's a little outstanding. There is no other God. There are little G-O-Ds, men make them, but they have no power. They do not exist. And to love him with all the heart, with all the understanding, with all the soul, and with all the strength, and to love his neighbor as himself is more than all whole burnt offerings and sacrifices. That is, this man, this Pharisee, is now saying that all that ceremonial law, that remember, that was what they counted on, that ceremonial law, making sure the boxes were checked. Even this verse that was read here, they would wear on their forehead. You've seen them where it's called a phylactery. They'd have it on their forehead and also on their arm. It'd be strapped to the arm, and they'd make broad those phylacteries. The hems of their garments, they'd make them broad, and they'd make this real big and noticeable so it'd show out to everybody how much I'm conscious of the law. But you know how much righteousness was in that? Nothing. That's all on the outside. When the law was written on the inside, then that became a whole different thing. This man, he was made to see that this done from the heart as a spiritual worship was more valuable than all of the ceremonial law, which was about to come to a conclusion, was about the time for it had come, because Jesus was about to come and fulfill that and do away with that so that all the ceremonial sacrifices would not be offered again. And remember, the Pharisees had a real hard time accepting that because they didn't see Jesus as the end of the law for righteousness. This man did, because he says it. And when Jesus saw that he answered discreetly, that means with wisdom, that means right, a man answered right, he said unto him, thou art not far from the kingdom of God. In other words, he wasn't all the way in, but he was headed that way. Have you ever seen them not all the way in yet, but they're headed that way? What's he saying? He says, I see the evidence. You know what Jesus saw? I read one commentator. He's a commentator. But I read one commentator that said that there are some that get real close, but just don't quite make it in. Well, that would be a sad scenario, wouldn't it? Some would get real close, but just don't. You know how many are going to make it in? Everyone for whom he died. Everyone that he worked the work of grace in. Everyone. And listen, now in a sense, he'd have been right, but he was talking about heaven and immortal glory. He wasn't talking about the church kingdom. He wasn't talking about gospel fellowship. He wasn't talking about what we're enjoying tonight. There are some that get close to that, but don't come all the way in. They don't come and take up their cross and follow their Lord in baptism. They don't come and commune at the table. They don't take the full fellowship. They come and they hear the gospel, but they don't come and fully partake. They don't go all the way. And I am thankful that there are those that do, but I also am thankful there are some others, but I encourage them, you know, don't just be, you know, some. I'm almost persuaded, you know, was that in the Acts of the Apostles, almost persuaded. That's not a man almost persuaded to go to heaven. Listen, every one of God's children, isn't it good tonight just to know that every one of God's children are going to get to heaven because of what Jesus did, and not one of them are going to be lost. Not one of them, because their salvation is not in them. That is in an eternal sense. But our timely deliverance, we can act and behave in a way that we miss the blessings here in time. We can miss blessings. This man was not far from the kingdom. He didn't say that about all the Pharisees, but he said it about this one. He didn't say it about all the scribes, but he said it about this one. And then he said, thou art not far from the kingdom of God, which I may believe it means this man, most probably, we don't want to speculate too much, but most probably this man later on was one of those that took up his cross. There were a few that did and followed the Lord, few of the Jews that did. There are not far. Jesus knew his heart. He knew what was going on in him was not of him. The Lord had done something for him. Kind of in a position where you might have come, you remember when you first came and you sat there and you thought, well, this is different. I'm hearing something now that I hadn't heard before. Something was there, and maybe you didn't know exactly what it was, but you knew something was there. And then finally you said, I just need to be more in. I need to follow. I need to do. I have that burden in my heart. We're to encourage those to take up your cross and follow him. There's a blessing in that. Don't walk away sad like a young rich ruler. He says, and no man after that durst, we don't use that very much anymore. Durst somebody to do it. That means dare them. I durst you. No, you dare them. He said, no man after that dare ask him any questions. That you know, that's what, and he just put them to silence. You know, the wisdom of our Lord Jesus Christ was such that everybody at that point said, yeah, I'm not messing with him. Now, this guy was a lawyer. I mean, he lived in debate. That's what he wanted. And he was a religious lawyer. He lived to debate religion. But when Jesus got finished with him, he didn't ask any more questions. What a Lord we have. What a Savior. I appreciate your kind attention tonight. When you have a mind to pray, remember me, and God bless you.